I'd like you, please, to turn with me, first of all, to a verse in the Old Testament, Book of Amos, Amos and chapter 4. And it's page 1101 in my Bible, Amos 4, and part of a verse, prepare to meet thy God. I'll tell you later why I've read this scripture. But next, I would like you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse 16. And he, that is Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, the land of a certain rich man brought forth abundantly. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do? For I have not a place where I shall lay out my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will take away my granaries and build greater. And there I will lay up all my produce and my good things. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good things laid by for many years. Repose thyself, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared? Thus is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now in chapter 15, I'm going to read a part of it. Luke 15 and verse 11, and he, that is Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me to me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided to them of what he was possessed of. After not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property, living in debauchery. When he'd spent all, there arose a violent famine throughout that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And verse 17, and coming to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine. I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He rose up and went to his own father. While he was yet a long way off, his father saw him, was moved with compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondman, bring out the best robe, clothe him in it, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. I would like to read two further passages, one in John's Gospel. John 14, verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I told you, for I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I'm coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. And now in the book of the Revelation. Revelation and chapter 19 and verse 6. And I heard as a voice of a great crowd, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of strong thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God the Almighty has taken to himself kingly power. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And finally, in the next chapter, rather chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things to you in the assemblies. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. I'd like to speak to you in the gospel this evening about preparation. That's why I read from Amos chapter 4. Now, we all know that that chapter is addressed to Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And it was because Israel was going astray and they were going after idols. They were departing from God. And the important thing was for them was to return to God to make themselves ready, to prepare to meet their God. And I would like to apply it to us all tonight that we should be prepared to meet God. 2 days ago, I went to see a relation of mine who's dying. And I was very exercised and concerned as to what I should say to him because I didn't think he had a link with the Lord. And in the course of conversation, he said to me, I don't know what I'm going to say to God when I meet him. And I took courage from that, that there was a soul on the brink of eternity and he wasn't sure what he was going to say to God when he met him. This is someone who's about to pass from time into eternity. And in a sense, we're all in the same position. Any one of us today could pass from time into eternity. And I would like you to be sure and be prepared to meet God. Israel should have been prepared to meet God, and they weren't. And it ended up in disaster. And so it will be with you. If you are not properly prepared to meet God, it will be ending in disaster. But I don't want that to happen. And that's why I'm here to tell you and to warn you. And I read about two people that were not prepared to meet God. One was a rich man, and the other spent all his money. Well, there's a lot of people in this day preparing for themselves, preparing to have a good time. This rich man was getting on really well, and he realized that he needed bigger granaries to hold the produce. He was totally concerned in materialism, and that is one of the problems of the present day. I trust there's no one here that's totally occupied with materialism and what is material and belongs only to this world. He realized that he hadn't got enough storage space to store all the good things that he was preparing, and he wanted to lay up so he could enjoy them himself. There was no thought of God. And that is exactly the problem in many lives today. It may be it's the problem in your life, that you may be spending your life to get on in the world so that you can enjoy yourself down here, because he wanted to lay up good things for many years. Repose thyself, eat, drink, be merry. And that's very much the situation with many, many people in this world. They have no thought outside of this life for God, and they have only thoughts for themselves, their own personal enjoyment and prosperity. Trust, there's nobody here like that. Because if there is, this is what God says. God said to him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We none of us know how much longer we've got. My relation has but days to live. You might only have hours to live. I might. Am I prepared to meet God? And what am I going to say to him? It was sad to hear that two men came to see him, And neither of them gave him the right answer. And they were both men of religion. So I want to give you the right answer. This man was preparing to have a good long life on earth and to enjoy himself and to center everything round himself. The younger son in Luke 15, it's a story we all know well, a parable we know well. He wasn't building up money. He wanted to have a good time. He wanted to enjoy himself with the pleasures of life, living in debauchery. So there were two men. One was, no doubt, quite a good man, laying up for himself treasure on earth. And the other man was spending it as fast as he could. Neither were right. But God, in his mercy and wisdom, spoke to the one in Luke 15. And he came to himself. Now, it would be a wonderful thing if somebody here who's on those lines came to himself tonight and realized that he needed something outside of himself. That's the problem. People center everything round themselves. Me, me, me. What's in it for me? Well, God has wonderful news for you. And there is what's in it for you, but it's available on God's terms only. It's not available on your terms. Nothing you can do to earn, deserve, or merit the salvation of your soul. The Bible tells us so, and you'll find it there right the way through from Genesis when sin first came in to Revelation when God deals with it. So I'm burdened to present Christ to you as the Saviour of sinners for you to deal with your sins, because if you're centering your life around yourself and shutting God out, or enjoying yourself with the things of this life without any thought of God, one was accumulating wealth and the other was spending it as fast as he could, and neither were right. So I want you to know that God has a wonderful plan, a way of salvation for you. The Apostle Paul preached two things. He preached in Acts 16, you can read it for yourself, he preached repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the two things I would like to speak to you about. The Lord Jesus, God's own Son, has been here. God gave his Son. Think of the giving of God. How great that is. God has given his most precious, beloved Son to come into this world and to suffer and die on account of sin and our sins, my sins, your sins. Do you believe it? You see, there was a jailer once in Philippi, and he'd put two innocent men into prison. But during that night, there was an earthquake, and the bonds, the chains of all were freed, all the prisoners were set free. And the jailer thought that he was going to have to die if they escaped. Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." He says, "What must I do that I may be saved?" I trust everyone has asked that question and got the answer. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There was no doubt in the Apostle Paul's mind that there would be salvation through believing in Jesus. God also requires repentance. The younger son in Luke 15 came to himself and said, "I will go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. Make me as one of thy hired servants." He never got that far when his father met him. So God, we know, has nothing but sonship in mind for us, that we should become sons of God. Now, the way, what we will have to say to God. You know, if you were to have to be ushered into the presence of God tonight, if you were to die tonight and have to meet God, what would you say to him? Would you say, well, I've done some wrong things, but I've done lots of right things, and if you can weigh up my good deeds in the balances, I'm sure they'll outweigh the bad ones. That won't cut any ice with God, I can tell you that. For the God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God is a holy God. He's a just God. He's a saviour God, but he's first of all a holy God. And God will not and cannot tolerate sin in his presence. So, what are you going to say? Are you going to talk about all the good things you've done and hope that God will let you outweigh the bad things? That is not God's plan at all. God wants you to come to yourself, to realize you're a sinner, and say so and tell him you've sinned. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. So God realizes, he knows your heart. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you need a saviour, and he's ready and waiting to bless you. But you need to make the first move. You need to come to him, to own up before him as to your sins, because now is the time to get right with God. There is no evidence in Scripture, in my Bible or in yours, that sins are forgiven after we die. It's too late. It's fixed. Sins are forgiven now. The Lord himself said, do you not know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? Sins are forgiven here on earth, in this room if you like. They're not forgiven in heaven. They're not forgiven in some mythical place called purgatory. There is no such thing in my Bible as purgatory, let me tell you. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a believer on Jesus or you're lost and without God. What a terrible thing it is, or it would be, if I was without hope and without God in this world. There's no need to be. The gospel is preached for you to believe. The Philippian jailer was about to take a sword and kill himself. He was that close to a lost eternity. And there's no need for anyone in this room to go into a lost eternity. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. That's what you have to say now. And then when you meet God, you can point to the blood, the shed blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. And you can rely on that because God says so. When I see the blood, he said all those years ago in Egypt to the children of Israel, you put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The destroying angel passed over the houses of the Hebrews in Egypt because they had, in obedience of faith, put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. That's across the top and down the side, where God could see it. And they went inside that house. They didn't see the blood, but God did. And he passed over that house. So you will know what you can say to God when you meet him. You'll meet him as a saviour God, because people will meet God in one of two ways. You either meet God now as a saviour, or you meet him later as a judge. I could have read to you from Revelation 20, the great white throne. God will have to say to man about his sins, his deeds. God, man will be judged according to what he's done, his deeds. You can read that in Revelation. God has appointed a day when he's going to finalize things by judgment. And this world, you know, don't worry about global warming. God's going to burn it up. That'll be global warming, all right. God is going to destroy. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. God is going to create a new world, a new heavens and a new world. And this present world is going to be burnt up. Peter tells us in his epistle, present heavens and earth are reserved against fire. God's going to burn it all up. All the works of men, good and bad, the whole lot's going. So we might as well get right, and we need to get right with God now. Because now is the time, now is the day of salvation, not next week. It may be too late. Because I'll tell you something else. The Lord is coming again for those who belong to him. Now this is a very wonderful thing. It's not understood generally. But the Lord Jesus is very shortly coming for all those who belong to him. Thank God, I can count myself by grace and mercy amongst them. Can you? Are you waiting for the Lord to come? Because I read two further scriptures, one in John 14, that the Lord has gone away. He suffered here and died. He's risen again, gone into glory and sent the blessed Holy Spirit to dwell in those who belong to him, who believe, and he's coming again. But he's gone to prepare a place. Now there's divine preparation. I've spoken about our preparation. What about God's preparation? God has prepared a wonderful place for us to live in eternally. For those who belong to the Lord Jesus, those who are sheltering under his blood, those who are indwelt by his Spirit are going to a most wonderful place, God's house. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I told you, for I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I'm coming again and shall receive you to myself. Is that your hope? Or are you too busy enjoying yourself down here? Or too busy making money? Or whatever it is that's hindering you? Or are you waiting for that heavenly home, that house, that place prepared in the Father's love, where we are going to be and dwell with him eternally? Now that's the Christian's hope. What a wonderful hope we have. I trust it's the hope of everyone in this room. Because if it is, then we come to Revelation 19, and we come to another preparation. A very interesting one this is. The bride has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. There's going to be a wonderful marriage in heaven very shortly. And it'll be the marriage of the Lamb and his bride, the church or the assembly. Now, what a wonderful thing that is. Not only has a place been prepared in the Father's love for us to dwell eternally, but we're going to be united forever with Christ. We're going to see him, we're going to be like him, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be united to him eternally. What a wonderful, blessed hope and outlook the believer in Jesus has. That's why I finally read the last verses of the Bible. This is the end of God's word. Let him that hears say, come. Now you can't say come unless you're ready. Because when the Lord is ready, he will come. And we shall go to be with him where he is. But we need, not only as the bride or the one who belongs to Christ, to be ready, but we need to say, come. We need to want the Lord to come. If you don't know the Lord, you may be terrified at these things. I can remember when I was much younger, I used to feel very uncertain about going to be with the Lord because I didn't really know him. But you know, if you know the Lord, if you know your sins forgiven, if you know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you will look forward and long to be with him where he is, to see him as he is. Not no longer crowned with thorns. You know, the Lord was dreadfully treated by men, nailed to a cross, lifted up to die, and crowned with a crown of thorns. But tonight, he's in heaven, he's in glory, and he's crowned with glory and honour. No longer a crown of thorns, a crown of glory. And that's where my Lord and Saviour is. And I want him to be yours, because any one of us could pass out of time into eternity at any moment, and it will be fixed. If we die in Christ, we'll be raised in Christ. If we die in our sins, we'll be raised in our sins. And there's nothing but the great white throne to look forward to. And God will have the last say. He has a record of my life and yours. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. So that's how we can be right with God. And we can go into his presence with assurance because of what Jesus has done. Well, it's my portion, and I trust it's yours. If it isn't, make sure and quickly prepare to meet your God, for his name's sake. Amen.